If you take your Bible, please, this morning and open to the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 5, is where we'll be, and the sermons will be a little bit different from now on. Every Sunday, you will know exactly where I will be preaching. It's not going to be a variety of different passages about topics that we are looking at since I arrived here and looking at the images of Jesus. Now we're going to do a verse-by-verse, line-by-line expository sermon through the Sermon on the Mount. So today is going to be chapter 5, verses 1 through 3. Next week, you know I'm going to be in verse 4 and 5 and 6. And then the next week, it will be all the way through Matthew chapter 7. And then we'll decide if we want to continue at that point. So Matthew chapter 5 is where we will be this morning. And as we begin our sermon series on the Sermon on the Mount, we realize as we go through it, and I hope you had a chance to read it this past week as we did an introduction sermon on it last week. I hope that as you read it, you will have concluded that this sermon, the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus has preached, is a little bit hard to describe. It has an element to it that draws us. Jesus draws us to this sermon. We don't know exactly why it does, but the sermon draws us to Him and to His words, very much like moths are drawn to the spotlight. And yet the sermon burns so bright that the closer we get to it, we can find ourselves a little bit scorched as we read the words of it. We come to it thinking that this is the pathway of life, and that it certainly is. And the more we read it, the more we understand that if I come to it with any kind of belief that I have something to offer God in exchange for the gift of salvation, I come to realize that any sort of piety that I might think that I have, or worthiness or merit to come to God, this sermon will obliterate those thoughts. I understand that those things are just a veneer and a sham, because Jesus maintains all the way through that perfection is demanded. In fact, Jesus says, be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. And so with that, we have to remember a couple of things that we talked about last time, the three foundational principles that we talked about in the Sermon on the Mount. We are dealing with a need for a new life. We are not dealing with a legalistic system of morality. We talked about that last time. Living the Sermon on the Mount can never be divorced from a right relationship with Jesus Christ. We cannot do this in the strength of the flesh. We cannot gin it up. And we cannot try harder and harder and harder and harder to live this kind of life. It is a spiritual endeavor. It is certainly not a physical endeavor. Number three, the Sermon on the Mount is not designed as a shame game. Again, we talked about that. It's not designed to try to make you feel bad or make you feel guilty. That's not the design of it at all. And so with those principles kept in mind, let's look at what Jesus has to say beginning in Matthew chapter 5, verse 1. It says, "And seeing the multitudes, Jesus went up on a mountain. And when He was seated, His disciples came to Him. And then He opened His mouth and He taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who are poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." If we were to read through the rest of the Beatitudes, we would find that this particular Beatitude is in a chronology. But even before we get to that, we have to ask ourselves, to whom is this sermon given? And does it apply to me? Is this something for me, or is this something for somebody else? Who was this message delivered to? And should I pay attention to it, or is it something for Jesus' disciples? Looking at verse 1, it says, "Seeing the multitudes, He went up on a mountain, and He was seated, and His disciples came to Him." There has been some confusion about who did Jesus preach to? Was it a multitude of people? Or was it just the 12 apostles? Well, we always look at things in its context. And if we look a few verses before chapter 5, verse 1, to chapter 4, verse 23 through 25, we read these words. Chapter 4, 23, "And Jesus went all about all of Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing all kinds of sicknesses and all kinds of diseases among the people. And then his fame went throughout all of Syria. And they brought to him all sick people who were afflicted with various diseases and torments, and those who were demon-possessed, epileptics, paralytics, and he healed them. And verse 25, and great multitudes followed him from Galilee and from the Decapolis, from Jerusalem, Judea, and even beyond the Jordan. In that context, we see these great multitudes following Jesus, and Jesus certainly saw them, and we would conclude then that there was a very large crowd that was following him. He was healing them, and he may have gone to a place with a smaller group of people, including his disciples, training them, multiplying his ministry. But one thing we're going to learn in Matthew's gospel, the term disciple is not necessarily the 12 apostles, and it does not necessarily describe committed believers and followers. It can refer to someone who is merely following and learning at that moment without any reference to their particular level of commitment. From the large crowds called multitudes all over the region, all over Palestine, from beyond the Jordan in Syria, all the way down to Judea and Jerusalem, a large group of people were following him. And it may have been a smaller crowd at this particular point in the western part of Galilee. We see there in verse 1 that Jesus went up on a mountain and he was seated down. There's been a lot made about going up onto a mountain. Actually, we have a view of a mountain that might be a little bit different from the people of Galilee at that time. It was really like a hill. It wasn't like a tall mountain. It'd be like the hills out in western North Dakota that you would come to, these rolling hills out there in Galilee. Probably looked something very similar to this. As you can see, it's more like a hill. It's called a mountain in the text, but it's really more like a hill. Anybody could walk up with Jesus. Even little kids could go up and sit down with him. The point is, though, that we are to hear Jesus, we have to want to hear him. We have to make an effort to hear him, not just hearing sounds from his mouth, but to hear with understanding, a desire to internalize and apply to our lives what he is saying. That takes effort. It takes a little bit of effort to actually hear what Jesus is saying. And that's a very important thing for us to realize and remember. It's going to take effort. So the crowds had to exert themselves to go up with him onto this little hill and to actually hear what he is saying. Now, imagine yourself, you're walking along with Jesus and you're just one of the large members of this crowd. You're walking along and Jesus takes a moment and he stops and he gives the parable of the sower. You might remember that story in Matthew chapter 13. Jesus says, the sower went out to sow. And he's tossing the seeds, and Jesus tells the whole parable, and then he proclaims at the end of it, let him who has ears to hear, let him hear. And it's startling. You might say to yourself, well, I heard the words, but I didn't hear those words. What did he really say? And I missed it.